السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والضحى والليل إذا سجى ما ودعك ربك وما قلى وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى ولسوف يعطيك ربك فترضى. صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام, most respected brothers, we have been discussing Surah Wadduha. I have explained to you already that there were times in the life of Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when wahi was stopped for a little while. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala did not send Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam down with the revelation for a certain period of time. The longest period is known as the zamana, or the time which we term as the fatrat wahi, when for a long period of time it was stopped. And then it happened on other occasions also. For example, in Surah Kahf we get where Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, he had promised to give a reply to a certain question the next day, but he did not say insha'Allah. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala did not send Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam the next day. And then afterwards Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam was informed, وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدَى إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ. Don't say with regards to anything that I will do it tomorrow. Illa an yasha Allah. Except if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wish, then we will be able to undertake that activity or that action or that deed or that transaction, whatever we are planning to do. There's nothing wrong with the planning, but we must not be certain that we will definitely undertake it in future, because our future is unknown. It is only known to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala what our future is. Of course, also we must not be like that person who, when he was told that you must say insha'Allah, so he said, why must I say insha'Allah? I've got the money in my pocket. I'm going to the marketplace. They are selling horses there, so I'm going to buy a horse there. Why must I say insha'Allah? Because I've got the money and I'm going to the marketplace where they are selling horses. So he did not say insha'Allah. On the way, somebody pickpocketed him. So he had to return without purchasing anything. On the return again, he meets the same alim or whoever had advised him that he must say insha'Allah. He says, what happened? Why are you returning without the horse? He says, well, insha'Allah, I left home with insha'Allah money in my pocket. With insha'Allah, I met you on the way. With insha'Allah, you told me to say insha'Allah, but I didn't say insha'Allah. And on the way, insha'Allah, somebody pickpocketed me. So first he was not prepared to say insha'Allah in one correct place. And now he was saying insha'Allah in 100 wrong places. So insha'Allahs must not also be said in the wrong places. There are many people who make insha'Allah, insha'Allah in so many wrong places. Nevertheless, so Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he was very concerned that why did Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala not send Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam with the wahi? Because that was his main concern, that my Allah must not become displeased with me. And also because he was being jeered at and mocked and teased by the kuffar and the mushrikeen that your Rabb has forsaken you. Na'uzu billah, someone even said your shaitan has forsaken you, and so many other taunts. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was very concerned. At this time Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala sent Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam with the wahi, and the surah was revealed. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala takes a qasam by the glorious shining light, and Allah ta'ala takes a qasam by the night when it is calm, that neither has Allah ta'ala forsaken you, nor he has become displeased with you. Now this we have already discussed. And last week also we went into some detail of walal akhiratu khairul laka minal ula. And the hereafter is better for you than the present. But I also explained that it does not only mean the hereafter, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is given the assurance that every succeeding moment of his life is better than the preceding moment. Unlike ours, many a times, our succeeding moment is not better than the present. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam is told that every succeeding moment of yours is better than your present. And there was no doubt about it. We saw how Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's life gradually from that stage when Islam was at its weakest, or Muslims were at their weakest, they could have been snatched away, they could have been destroyed if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala did not send the angels to assist and help them. But with that little arms and ammunition that they had, when the time came for jihad, then they went and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala assisted them. And not very long after that we come to the conquest of Makkah Mukarrama, and within a short period of time the whole of Arabia, in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, they all accept Islam. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, every succeeding moment of his life was better than the preceding one. But after that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. And soon Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give you so much that you will become pleased. Now Allah ta'ala is giving him assurance upon assurance that your Rabb is not displeased with you. And this is from Muzare, which has both the present and the future. That means Allah ta'ala is giving you plentiful even at present, and he will continue to give you in future. So why should he do this if he is displeased with you? Now why I'm mentioning all these things is because of the condition that the Ummah finds itself in. It is relevant to our times. That whatever happens, there is great khair in it. وَلَلْ آخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَىٰ. In every person's life, sometimes the succeeding moment, if you have to look at it at surface and face value, then it seems that the person is going through a trauma, is going through a very difficult situation, a very trying period, there's a disaster. But after a few days he realizes that there was great goodness in it. It brought him closer to his Allah. It made him repent from his sins. Or it was a purification of his soul. Or it was an elevation of his status and position. Whatever it may be, but there was great goodness in it. The recent earthquake in Algeria, there was an article in the newspaper in which they said that after the earthquake, the positive side of it is that large number of Muslims, I mean we are saying positive side, the newspaper and the media will not call that positive. That the positive side is this, that large number of those people who were frequenting the bars and the nightclubs and those who were going to the brothels and prostitute quarters and all other kinds of evil, they are repenting and they are filling the mosques, and even the women are adopting hijab and they are performing the salat, and so many other things were mentioned there. So now on the one hand there was a disaster, but on the other side, walal akhiratu khairul laka minal ula, that it was better, because that condition in which they were in was not a very good condition. They had forgotten their Rabb and forgotten their Creator, and they were heading towards disaster. So for many of them, we don't say for all of them, for some of them, no matter what kind of disaster strike, but they won't get closer to Allah Ta'ala. In fact, sometimes it leads them to more sins and vices. I always mention that one incident because I cannot forget it, but it was many, many years ago, so people might not even remember who it was. But I went to visit this sick person. He was sick. He was in the last stages. It was cancer that he was suffering from. And when I went there to visit this person, there was one television in front of him, one on his right-hand side and one on his left-hand side. And he's sleeping on the bed. Now it is a Jummah day, I'm sitting here, and this is not the place to sit and talk lies or give fairy tales. So I asked those people, after making dua for the patient, ask the people of the house that why, what is the reason for this? Doesn't make sense to me. Here is a person that has already got one leg in the grave. He says, no, because he's in severe pain. He's in very severe pain. And he can't take the pain. So to keep his mind occupied, we have got one in front. And when he gets tired, then we turn him to the right so that he can continue watching on the right. And when he gets tired this side, we turn him to the left. نَوْزُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ ذَلِكِ إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. So for some people, even sickness and illness and poverty and disasters and calamities and earthquakes and shake-ups in their lives do not bring them closer to Allah Ta'ala, it distances them even more. So that is an azab from Allah Ta'ala. But for those whom it brings them closer to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then it is a great ni'mat, it is a blessing. وَلَلْ آخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى. Many countries, they take lessons from what happens, and some don't take any lessons. But for the individual, there's always goodness and khair in whatever condition Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala keeps him in. I can't help but repeat again, Hazrat Shah Muhammad Ahmad Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi is a beautiful couplet. Jis haal mein bhi wo rakhte hain, us haal ko akmal dekha hai. جس راہ سے وہ لے جاتے ہیں اس راہ کو اسحل دیکھا ہے جس راہ کو ہم تجویز کریں اس راہ کو اسقل دیکھا ہے. The route and the road and that my Allah Ta'ala takes me through, that is the best, that is the easiest. There's always great goodness and khair in whatever Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala chooses for a person. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is given this assurance right through that your Allah has not forsaken you, He is not displeased with you, He hasn't withheld the wahi because of any kind of disobedience of yours. There is great goodness and khair in it. It is just like how we are certain that the day will follow night. In the same way, you will see that very soon when the wahi will begin again, what great amount of goodness it will bring and khair it will bring and how much we are going to be giving to you in future. So there has to be a little period of calm and rest in a person's life. And then again you must be ready next morning for work. So this darkness of the night is not an azab of Allah Ta'ala. It is not that Allah Ta'ala is displeased with mankind, therefore He has given them night. The night has got so many benefits in it. There are so many benefits of the darkness of the night. Everybody benefits. The Allah Walas, they benefit from the darkness of the nights. That seclusion that they have with Allah Ta'ala, that khalwat that they have with Allah Ta'ala, that enjoyment that they have in the communication with Allah Ta'ala when everything is calm and quiet and still in the late part of the night. So they also benefit from the darkness of the night. And all the rogues and thieves and burglars, they also benefit a lot from the darkness of the night. They too, most of them wait for darkness of the night. But in our South African new democratic dispensation, now they don't wait for night. Those days they used to break in at night. Now, whether it is night or day, we get the same amount of robberies and burglaries. But generally in those days they used to wait for the night. The burglars used to break in at night. And even up till today, majority of it occurs at night. So nevertheless, now that is not the benefit that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is talking about. But there's a lot of other benefit that people get. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is given this assurance. And then Allah Ta'ala tells him, وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. Allah Ta'ala will give you so much, He will give you so much, that you will become pleased, you will really become pleased. Allah Ta'ala wants to please Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Now let us see what was his pleasure then. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is told that I am giving you and I will give you so much that you will become pleased. Now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam at that time could have said, yes, I will become extremely pleased if you make me a billionaire, or if you give me trillions, or if you make the mountain of Uhud into gold and silver, I will become extremely pleased. And we would have immediately asked Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala for material things. And there's nothing wrong. We must ask for material things also, turn to Allah Ta'ala, and for spiritual also turn to Allah Ta'ala. But what I want to get across to you is this, that here our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when this was told to him, he said, فَإِذَنْ لَا أَرْضَى. Then if that is the condition, then I will never be pleased. وَوَاحِدٌ مِّنْ أُمَّتِي فِي النَّارِ. Even if one ummati of mine goes to the fire of Jahannam, Ya Allah, I will never become pleased. On one occasion, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he recited the dua which Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam made. فَمَنْ تَبِعَنِي فَإِنَّهُ مِنِّي وَمَنْ أَصَانِي فَإِنَّكَ غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. He said, O Allah, whosoever obeys me, then he is one of my followers. But if the person disobeys, then O Allah, you are Ghafoorur Rahim, you are most forgiving, you are most merciful. And he recited that verse which is attributed to Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, in which Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam says, وَإِن تُعَذِّبُهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. إِن تُعَذِّبُهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ. Oh Allah, if you have to punish them, then they are your slaves. You have got the right to punish them. Because they have disobeyed you, you've got the right to punish them. I don't say that you do not have that right. But oh Allah, if you forgive them, then you are the mighty, the wise. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam recited this and then immediately began to tear and cry. He began to shed tears. He cried so much that Allah Ta'ala had to send Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam to ask, Oh my beloved Rasul, why are you crying so much? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that I want forgiveness for my ummah. Allah Ta'ala said, I will make you happy with regards to your ummah. وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. I will make you happy. Don't get so worried. This was his concern. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the day of judgment, there will be so many people. Where do I find you? He said, you will find me on Kawthar, distributing the water of Kawthar, drink of Kawthar. Said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if I don't find you there, then where will I find you? He said, then you will find me in the hisab, where the hisab will be taken of my ummatis. Some will be destined for hell and some will be going to Jannat. You will find me there, pleading to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for the forgiveness of my ummat. He said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if I don't find you there, he said, then you will find me at the Pul Sirat. There too I will not cross and go into Jannat until every ummati of mine has entered Jannat. Now this was the type of love that he had for us. Now all we have to ask ourselves is one simple question, that Rasul of Allah who had such love for us, does it befit a Muslim who takes his name and says that I am the ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to indulge in such kinds of sins and vices that it shames the ummah? And on the day of Qiyamah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will have to bow his head down with shame when he will have to face such kind of ummatis. In the newspapers, whose names appears? When it comes to fraud and killing and murders and all kinds of haram dealings and activities. When it comes to the casinos, you will get pictures of the Muslim. The other day there was one in which, about a year or two ago, there was one picture of a Muslim. This is in pensive mood. I remember the word also. He's gambling in the casino and he's about to hit a jackpot or something, but now he's in pensive mood and the picture is there. Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so in this nightclub, Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so in this cinema, Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so on this haram stage. If you want to commit sins, commit it. But please be ashamed. I'm not giving any green light to commit sins, but what I'm saying is that if the person hasn't got shame and haya and he wants to commit sin, then commit it in some secret place and make plenty of tawbah. But don't go public advertising our sins. Educate our families, educate our sisters, our aunties, our grandmothers. Some have become grandmothers. Educate them. How are we going to face our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of Qiyamah? He who cried for us, he whose blood was shed in Taif, his shoe Mubarak became filled with his blood. He whose only concern was Allahumma ummati ummati. So either we say clearly that Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, your religion and your deen, it restrains us and restricts us from going to cinemas and theaters and gambling dens and movies and clubhouses and rave clubs. It's very difficult. So therefore we have got nothing to do with your deen. We are changing our name and we are adopting some other deen wherein it is permissible to do everything. On Sunday morning you can go and pray and get everything washed away. Then we must make it clearly known that we are unhappy about it. But to take our beautiful names, the names of the prophets of Allah Ta'ala, the name of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself, and then to go to such kind of places, or to be involved in murders and involved in rape and involved in fraud and involved in all other kinds of haram activities, and not only that, but giving open publicity to it. Where does it befit a Muslim to then call himself an ummati of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Lectures we have heard so much, bayans we have heard so much, speeches we have heard so much, that I always say that speeches, we should now put it on the stock exchange, speeches unlimited. That will sell very well. It's a commodity that will sell very well, speeches unlimited. It's time that we take the first steps towards our Islah and Reformation. Alhamdulillah, the congregation that comes here every Jummah, you are listening to these type of things. So mentally you are prepared. It's just a little effort that you have to make, put one step onto the nafs. And once you put that step onto the nafs, then even shaitan will disappear from the way. And we are connected with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. We have to say, oh Allah, we have sinned, we have gone far away from deen. We have indulged in so much of evil actions that even we are tired now of those sins. Wallah, even the person himself gets tired after some time of committing those sins. I get letters in which they say, I'm committing this sin over such a period of time that I myself, I am tired now. So if you are tired, then why continue? If a person is tired, then we say, relax, go to sleep. Now if the person is tired of committing those sins, then why still continue? It shows his nafs, that enjoyment that it gets, he cannot seem to fight that nafs. But he will never ever find satisfaction. You can drink up the waters of the ocean, your thirst will never be quenched. The salty water of the ocean will never quench the thirst. For the quenching of the thirst, you need a tumbler full of clean, pure, refreshing water. No matter how much sins the person commits, one sin will lead to the other, and then the other, and it will carry on and on. There will just be no stop. The person who is in the habit of watching all the time, is casting lustful glances at women, do you think he stops? After he has seen one, he wants to look for the other. And the other one passes, he was looking for another. It just doesn't stop until he is going to make up his mind that now I don't want to do that which is displeasing to my Allah Ta'ala, and I want to put a stop. So when he's going to do that, the first time it will be a little difficult. The second time it will be a little difficult. Slowly, slowly it's going to become easier. Then if he was casting 1,000 glances, it's going to come down to 500, 200, 100. And then the day will come, inshallah, in his life, when he'll get such sweetness of iman in his heart. Such sweetness of iman in his heart. And in the masjid, I can take qasam and say that there is sweetness in it. And if we don't believe it, then that example again, that who is it that has put sweetness into sugar cane? If Allah Ta'ala takes out that sweetness from that stick, then it will sell at the price of bamboo sticks. Allah Ta'ala, who can put sweetness into wood, cannot he put sweetness into the heart of a believer? And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has said that when you are going to lower your gaze from haram, Allah Ta'ala will give you the sweetness of iman. So now from the 1,000 he came down 500, 150, and then it will become easy now. Now he will enjoy, because now he's enjoying a different kind of sweetness. So my dear brothers, وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطُيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. Inshallah, if Allah Ta'ala gives me life, health and another opportunity, will continue. But this is the lesson, let us take and go. That beloved Nabi of ours, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who loved us so much, so much, that at the time of his parting also is concerned about us. When Allah Ta'ala is promising him that he will give him plentiful, then too is asking for the ummah. In every difficulty of his, it is nothing but for the ummah. Now how does it become permissible, or is it befitting for that ummati then to do so much, so much, day and night, which disturbs Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which hurts Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which grieves Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which makes Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam tear, that this is the ummah for whom I sacrificed all this. Whatever we do, he is informed. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is informed that this is the condition of your ummah. So if we want peace of mind ourselves, if we want tranquility in our hearts, if we want serenity, if we want joy, if we want contentment, if we want this connection with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, if we want that sweetness of iman, then we have to take those few steps. And then Allah ta'ala will make the rest of it very easy for us. May Allah ta'ala give me, give you, and the entire ummah the tawfiq of making amal. May Allah ta'ala remove the difficulties, the hardships and the problems which the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is suffering throughout the world. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب